Throughout the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, this revelation which was given to the Apostle John, we see repeated allegories, pictures, visions of the history of time, particularly between the coming of Christ and his work in delivering his people from their sins upon the cross, and the end of time, and the bringing in of a new heavens and a new earth. And in chapters 20 and 21, we see this portrayed for us, as we read in chapter 20, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night for ever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Into the lake of fire. What a term and what a place. The lake of fire. How graphic is the language used by John here to to describe real events, real places, and real circumstances. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. These are dramatic events which are described. We read of the first resurrection, the second death. We read of the devil and Satan. We read of the devil that deceived the people being cast into the lake of fire and brimstone and being tormented day and night forever and ever. We read of a great white throne and of him that sat upon it, before whom all people, all the dead, small and great, shall stand. And how the books are opened, and how their judgment is determined. We read in chapter 21 of a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth are passed away. And we read of New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. We read of both terrible things, the dead and the devil, the serpent being cast into the lake of fire, where they are tormented day and night forever and ever. But we read of wonderful things, of a new heaven and a new earth, where those whose names are written in the book of life enter, and none else. But these things begin at the beginning of chapter 20 with this angel that comes down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Now, what is this describing? What event is this when this angel comes down from heaven and lays hold of the dragon, that old serpent, and casts him in to a bottomless pit? And what time is this 1,000 years described, at the end of which this devil is loose for a little season and brings things to their conclusion, at the end of which he's cast into a lake of fire? What is this 1,000 years during which, whilst he is cast into a bottomless pit, during which John also saw thrones and people sat upon them who lived and reigned with Christ? Those who are part of the first resurrection, those upon whom the second death have no power, for they are priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. What is this 1,000 years? Well, when this angel comes down from heaven and takes the dragon, lays hold upon him, the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and binds him 1,000 years. This is pointing us to the coming of Christ, when he came down from heaven's glory, the Son of God, born in human flesh, God's great angel, great messenger Christ, who comes the Word of God entering the darkness of this world. He comes to take that old serpent which had deceived the nations and to destroy him, to bind him, to cast him into a bottomless pit. As Christ entered this world, that adversary, Satan, tried to take hold of him. He tried to tempt him. He tried to destroy him. He moved in men's hearts to oppose him. And in the end, those men moved of Satan, moved by that old serpent, moved by that liar, took hold of Christ whom they rejected. And they accused Christ of making himself equal with God. And they demanded his death. And the Jews cried out of Christ, "Away with this man! Crucify him! Crucify him!" And they had the Romans take him and nail him to a cross and crucify him. And Satan, working in their hearts, took the Son of God, this angel that came down from heaven, and sought to destroy him. And Satan, in so doing, bruised the heel of the Son of God. But in bruising that heel crushed Satan's head. Crushed the serpent's head, as we read of elsewhere. And cast him into a bottomless pit. Satan tried to destroy Christ, but in so doing he wrought his own destruction. And when Satan did this, all the sins of all God's people who had fallen into sin at the deception of Satan at the beginning were laid upon Christ. And instead of them bearing the judgment, Christ bore the judgment in their place. And Christ took death, the first death which had come upon them, spiritual death as a consequence of their sin. He took death and he destroyed it. He took it away and he brought in its place for that people everlasting life and everlasting righteousness. Their sins were judged according to the righteousness of God and blotted out, and his very own blood washed those sins away. Yes, he conquered death for that people. In the beginning, this old serpent had entered this world in the Garden of Eden, and had come up to Eve and had said unto her, whispering lies in her ears, "Hath God said?" He says, "Take of this fruit and eat it of this tree." And she says unto him, "But God has told us not to." And he says, "Hath God said?" She says that we've been told that in the day that we eat it, we shall surely die. And he says, "Is that true? Hath God said, you shall not surely die?" Then Satan comes unto mankind and says, "God's a liar. He's trying to trick you. You won't die. God doesn't want you to do that because he knows you'll become as gods like him. He's trying to prevent you from being powerful like he is." So he flatters man. And he flatters man that man can, by his own deeds and efforts, achieve greatness. And what he said to Eve, and what he persuaded Adam of as a result, he has done to all mankind ever since. He comes unto us and says, "You can be great. You can attain unto heaven. You can be as a God by your own deeds and efforts. Take of the fruit of this tree. Come to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Come to the law of God. And try to keep it. Because if you eat of the tree, eat of the fruit of this tree, if you try to keep the fruit, If you try to keep the commandments of this tree, if you try to walk by the law of God, you can do it. You can live. Life is promised to all those that obey. And if you obey, if you're obedient, you know that God will bless you and you'll live forever and reign forever. You'll be as a god. And he deceives us. Because the reality that Eve found and Adam found in the garden when this old serpent came unto them was that when they ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which promised so much, it promised to instruct them, it promised to show them the way. When they ate of that fruit, they sinned. Sin entered into the heart of man. They disobeyed the command of God when God has said, don't eat of the fruit of this tree. And as they sinned, death entered into the soul of man. Sin entered this world by one man and death by sin. Mankind thought that by their obedience to the law, to the knowledge of good and evil, that they could attain unto glory. But God had said, don't go that way. Because it only brings death. You've got no strength to live that way. You've got no strength to do this. But they did, and sin entered, and death by sin, and the serpent had deceived them, like he's deceived you and like he's deceived me. He's a liar from the beginning, which is why he's called the dragon, that old serpent. The devil and Satan, our adversary, Satan. He opposes us. He's against us. He pretends to be for us, but he's brought our condemnation. He brought in by that deed of Eve and Adam. In eating of the fruit of that tree, he brought in the first death. Man died in the day that he ate of that tree, as God had said he would. Death entered into the heart of man. Sin entered, and death by sin. We died. We died spiritually. We died in our understanding and in our communion with God. We were separated from God when we disobeyed. And as a consequence, we die physically. Our lives are brief. Because we're dead in our souls within, because our hearts are full of sin and corruption, so our bodies waste away, and in the end we're laid in the grave and lay buried there until God brings us up out of the grave on this day mentioned in this chapter, when he brings up all the dead, small and great, to stand before God, and the books are opened and we're judged out of the books. And if our name is in the book of life, we will enter in to a new heaven and a new earth. But if our name is not in that book, then we will be cast with Satan, that old serpent, into a lake of fire, where we will be tormented with him day and night, forever and ever. The realities are very, very plainly stated in these chapters. And very solemn and very true. And they are a consequence of the fall caused by Satan's deception at the beginning, that though God had warned man, if you try to go this way, if you try to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Despite God's admonition and warning, man, deceived by that old serpent, Satan, the father of lies, went that way. And sin entered, and death by sin. Now God has repeated this warning unto man throughout time. Having delivered his people out of Egypt and brought them out and shown them his salvation. He presents unto them a reminder of what happened at the fall and what will happen to them in giving them the law. He presents the law to Moses and presents the law and shows through that law, with the backdrop of Mount Sinai and the thunders and the darkness and the fearsome sight presented when it was given, he shows unto us through that law that if you were to keep this law and keep it perfectly, you will live. But the law is given as a reminder that we can't keep that law. Every time we try to, we fail. And we prove it to be a killing letter, a sentence of death. It slays us. We will never climb a mountain by trying to keep that law. It will keep us in the grave, because within us reigns sin and death as a consequence of the fall. That law is a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Its fruit brings death. In the day we eat of it, the day we try to keep the law, we die. There was another tree in the garden, the tree of life, which is Christ. And if Adam and Eve had eaten of that tree, they'd have lived and reigned forever. They'd have lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years as priests of God and of Christ. They'd have had their names in the book of life. And none whose name is in the book of life will find themselves cast into the lake of fire. But all whose names are in the book of life will enter into the new heaven and the new earth. A place in which, in the very last chapter in the Bible, concluded the message of God from Genesis to Revelation, we are told in chapter 22, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. We see this glorious picture in this city of God, in this new heavens and new earth, of the tree of life. And the blessing of the fruit of the tree of life. And so our thoughts are taken right back to Genesis, where there were those two trees. One tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which brought death. And one tree, the tree of life, which brought life. And here, those whose names are in the book of life are brought to reign with Christ 1,000 years and enter into a new heaven and a new earth and come before the throne of God and that tree of life. But Satan deceived man to take of the fruit of the other tree. That tree which promises life if we're obedient. And if we strive by our own efforts and our own strength for our own glory to attain unto heaven. That tree, which was a picture of the law and the obedience of man to law in his own strength to attain unto heaven. The law was given unto Moses and it condemns. It slays. It says, do this and live, and none have done, and none have lived by its commandments. Eve took of its fruit and died. Adam took of the fruit and died, and all men died in him. And if you try to take of the fruit of this tree, if you think that you can attain unto heaven by your obedience, by your good works, you will find yourself plunged into death. And if God is not gracious and delivers you from the deception and the lie of Satan, that old serpent, you will find yourself in the end cast with him into a lake of fire. This 1,000 years is a figurative time spanning when Christ entered this world and died upon the cross and bruised the serpent's head and took the dragon, that old serpent, and cast and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. There he is today. This 1,000 years is figurative of the time between that event and the end of time, when Christ will return again, and when all the dead, small and great, shall stand before God, and the book shall be opened, and the sheep shall be divided from the goats, and those whose names are in the book of life shall enter the new heaven and the new earth, and those who aren't shall be cast into the lake of fire, where they will be tormented with Satan day and night forever and ever. That's the conclusion of the matter. Now, those who are part of the first resurrection will be spared that judgment. They will live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. They will live in this period between his death and resurrection and his coming again. The rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. The first resurrection. There are people who have a part in the first resurrection. And there are those who remain dead in the grave throughout. Blessed and holy is he that have part in the first resurrection. On such the second death have no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. What is this first resurrection? That they should be spared the second death. It is that resurrection of Christ when he died for his people's sins, and when they spiritually in him died with him. When their old man in Adam was crucified, when their sins were put away, and when they were judged under the judgment of God. When he died, they died. When he was laid in the grave, they were laid in the grave. And when he rose again, they rose again with him. They rose with him in the first resurrection from the dead, spiritually. Now in time, whenever they are born, they are brought to hear in the fullness of time in the gospel what happened. When we're born sinners. We're born dead as a consequence of the fall and of our fall in Adam into sin. We're born as those full of sin and dead spiritually. The first death has had its impact upon us. We're born dead sinners, dead in trespasses and sins, as Ephesians tells us. But in due course, if we're Christ, if we're God's people, if we're chosen, elected by grace unto salvation, God sends us the gospel. And by his Spirit, the gospel is brought unto us and spoken unto us. And the Spirit of God comes unto God's people in the gospel and causes them to live. Because they have risen with Christ spiritually in the past, when in time they're brought to hear the gospel, the Spirit of God takes of the power of that first resurrection and applies it to their souls and says, live. and the dead, like Lazarus in the grave, here in the gospel, are born again of God by the power of the Holy Ghost. Those who were once dead here in the gospel are brought to life. They were dead in Adam. They were crucified with Christ. They were resurrected when Christ rose from the dead. And when they are born physically, they're born dead in Adam. And they hear the gospel. And the power of God causes them to rise again. They're born again with newness of life from heaven above. They're resurrected. This is their first resurrection. This is the resurrection they are a part of. The resurrection of Christ, of which they were a part back then, and of which they are a part in circumstances in their own life when they're brought to hear the gospel. It's applied to them. His blood was shed at the cross, and here the gospel is brought unto them, and the Holy Spirit takes that blood and sprinkles it in their heart, and they live. They're resurrected. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, and on such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. These people, sinners, born again of God, reign with Christ 1,000 years. They reign in this gospel age. The gospel comes unto them in power and brings them to life. It says unto them as they lay in the grave like Lazarus, live, come forth. And they live and they come forth resurrected with Christ. They rise spiritually with Christ from the dead. And as a consequence, they're born again by their spirit to be resurrected from their spiritual death. And all who are resurrected in this way are spared the second death. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death have no power. The second death. What is this second death? Well, the first death was when we died with Adam. Was when sin entered into our hearts and we died as a consequence. All man died in Adam. But there's a final death. A second death to come at the end of all time. When those who have been resurrected in the first resurrection with Christ will be spared. They will come before God as the sheep of his pasture and be led in as those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. They'll be led into the new heaven and the new earth. But those who never believed the gospel, those who rejected the gospel, those who shut their ears to the gospel and shut their eyes to the gospel and closed their understanding and laughed at it and mocked at it and would not hear, those who in their hearts put Christ, the Lamb of God, to death, these who were dead from the beginning in Adam, and who lived their lives rejecting God and went to their graves dead in trespasses and sins, and were laid in the grave and remained dead in the grave till the end of time, these in this day will be resurrected, brought up out of the graves. The graves will be opened. The dead, small and great, are brought to stand before God, and the books are opened. And these who know not God, these whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life, these who've laughed, mocked, jeered, sneered, and rejected the gospel throughout all time, are judged according to their wicked works, and they are cast into a lake of fire in the end, into a second death, from which there is no escape. That death is final. We're all partakers of the first death. We're all sinners, dead in trespasses and sins in Adam. We're all hopeless in ourselves without strength. But if God comes unto us in the power of his gospel and says unto us, live, then we are blessed and holy in that we have a part in the first resurrection, and on such the second death hath no power. The second death, the devil that deceived them, that deceived us, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and he shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. But John saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And he saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Yes, there is a book, the book of life. And all whose names are written in the book of life will be spared this judgment. But there are other books which record the works of all men. And all men will be judged according to these works, whatever works they are. Whether they're the works of evil, the works of sin, the works of rebellion, or whether they are the works of self-righteousness, the works of the religious, the works of those who would seek to get to God by their own works and their own glory. They may be the works of the most religious, the most devout, the works of the devout Jews that put Christ to death, the works of the zealous Bible-believing professor who thinks by his own keeping of the law and his own righteousness or his own worship or his own Bible reading and prayer he will attain unto God, but he does not know Christ. And he does not know what it is to be nothing and confess that he's nothing and confess that his works are as filthy rags before a holy God. There are many like this who will be judged according to their works. Their very grand seeming works, their very religious works, their very dutiful works, their very zealous works, their very Bible believing works, but their very evil works in the sight of God, their filthy rags. They'll be judged according to these works. Your name is either in the Lamb's book of life, and your salvation is determined by the grace and the mercy of God alone, or your name is written in one of these books beside your works of self-righteousness, your religious zealousness, which led you in your heart to put the real, the truthful Jesus Christ unto death. The Jews, when Christ came unto them, he came unto his own, he came unto his own people. They received him not. They had the scriptures, they had the religion, they had the priesthood and the sacrifices. They were very zealous in all these things. Like Paul said, I was very zealous, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, born of the tribe of Benjamin, regarding the law blameless. I was very zealous, and yet I went about persecuting the church. In my heart I put Jesus Christ to death. I rejected his grace. I rejected his mercy. I rejected the doctrine of election. I rejected that salvation was by the grace of God alone. He thought he could save himself, and his religion damned him and caused him to persecute the church and to put Christ to death in his own hearts. And so many do the same today. And yet there's coming a day when the books will be opened and their religious works will be exposed for the filthy rags that they are, and they will be cast into the lake of fire. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. What is this meant by death and hell? It is not that permanent hell, that permanent lake of fire into which they will be dwelt. This hell is that place where the dead, the souls of the dead, are cast during time, where they remain until this day, when they're brought up, when death and hell give up the dead and they're brought up to stand before Almighty God. But there is a hell. There is a lake of fire, which is forever and ever. That place is for 1,000 years, a figurative 1,000 years, the time between the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, and his coming again. There is a temporary place where the souls of men are laid. But when they come to this day, if their name is not found in the Lamb's Book of Life, they will be cast into a lake of fire forever and ever. This death, this second death, is final. This isn't just to die spiritually in Adam, which leads to our physical death in the grave, which leads to us being laid in the grave, laid in hell until this day when we come to stand, the dead and the small and the great, before God, and he opens the books. But this death is that one that follows the judgment from the books, when we will be judged and sentenced to death and thrown with the devil and his angels into the lake of fire, never to be released. If we're not in the Lamb's Book of Life, then what awaits us, religious or irreligious, is a lake of fire where we will be tormented day and night, forever and ever. A lake of fire. There are those religious people, those cults, those sects, who want to pretend that hell is not eternal, who want to pretend that the judgment and wrath of God does not endure forever. They like to pretend that there are those who haven't followed God as they should, who are laid in the grave. But in the end, they will be brought out of the grave. And in the end, they will be brought into an everlasting earth and kingdom of God. They are, as it were, punished or rebuked for a time. They may be laid in a grave for 1,000 years as punishment for their unbelief and their unwillingness to follow God. But in the end, God's mercy and love extends to all. And in the end, after they have been rebuked and chastised for this period of time, after they have been in their perdition, as it were, that in the end, God saves them all. There are those who are spared this, who go straight to this wonderful kingdom of God. But there are those who are wicked, who endure this perdition. But in the end, everything's fine. And these love to have an idea of a God who's all loving to all people for all time, all forgiving. Surely a loving God can't punish sinners forever. But their dreams and their delusions come from one who told them lies in the beginning. Their dreams and their delusions come from the very same that said unto Eve, hath God said, you shall not surely die. It's the very same lie from the very same serpent, the very same whispering voice that says, but God's a God of love. He won't judge you. You won't die. Hath God said, surely a God of love will bring it out that in the end you'll be okay. Oh, he may rebuke you for a bit. You may be in trouble for a bit. But in the end it will be okay. He'll have his everlasting kingdom and we'll all be there. And they say, hath God said. It's the same doubt cast in our ears. The same lie. The same deception. With the same result. When Satan lied to Eve, mankind died. And when Satan whispers the same deception, even to religious people, like the Jehovah's Witnesses and others like them, that hell is not forever, that all will be fine in the end, he's whispering the same thing. And the reality is, when you take of that fruit and eat it, you will find yourself under a sentence of death. Because you will find that in the end, taking of their fruit and following their works and following their ways, that there will come a day when the dead, small and great, you included, stand before God and the books will be opened. And your name will not be found in the book of life. And your works will be found as filthy rags. And your unbelief of God's word will be found wanting. And you will be cast into a lake of fire. This is the second death. And this lake of fire, as we read, is forever and ever. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and false prophet are. The false prophet. The false prophets throughout all time. All these false prophets that tell us a lie. That preach another Jesus and another gospel. That say everything shall be fine if you follow our Father Christmas God. And our Father Christmas Jesus. All will be fine. He loves everyone. He died for everyone. He wants everyone to be saved and everyone will be saved in the end. There's no hell, nothing to fear. All will be well. This false prophet and all his followers, all who are deceived by Satan, that old serpent, shall be cast into this lake of fire where they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. The eternity, the everlasting nature of this lake of fire is made plain here. The fact that those whose names are not in the book of life will never escape this lake of fire and will never enter into the new heavens and new earth is made plain here. At the end of chapter 21 that describes the new heavens and new earth, we read that there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. Neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. You'll either be found in the new heavens and the new earth because of the grace of God, which brings salvation through Jesus Christ alone, because your name's in his book, or you'll be cast into a lake of fire forever and ever. This lake of fire, this hell, this judgment is eternal and everlasting. It's not a temporary perdition. It's not merely for 1,000 years. This chapter describes that 1,000 years. It describes the event after that 1,000 years. And then there is that which is everlasting. Those sent to the lake of fire have no part in the new heavens and new earth. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, And I will be his God, and he shall be my son, we read. But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It is forever. There is no escape. It is final. There is a second death, an everlasting judgment, a torment forever and ever, a lake of fire from which there is no escape, in which the false prophets, the religious, the liars, the serpent that deceived us in the beginning and deceives until the end are all cast together. But there is a new heavens and a new earth which God has prepared for his people. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. What is it to overcome? We can't overcome ourselves. We're overcome by our adversary. We're overcome by his lies. We're overcome by sin and death. We're overcome. We've got no strength. We can't overcome. What is it to overcome and inherit this wonderful blessing? It is to hear the gospel by the grace of God. It is for the Holy Spirit in mercy to come unto us in the deadness of our sins, as we lie in our filth in the gutter. It is to hear his word crying out unto us, Live. And when we hear, we live. And we know we're nothing. We know we were dead. But by his grace, we're brought up out of the dead and we live. And we discover what Christ has done for us. We discover that he bore our sins away. We discover that we've been cleansed and washed in his blood. We discover the righteousness of God is ours in Jesus Christ. We discover his everlasting salvation. We discover his great grace and mercy and love. And we discover his throne. We discover our name written in the Lamb's book of life. We discover a new heaven and a new earth. We discover the throne of God in the midst. We discover the Lamb of God in the midst. We discover the tree of life. And we take of its fruit. And it heals us of all our ills. There is no more curse. No more sin. No more death. No more tears. No more sorrow. All is glorious. All is everlasting. All is done. All is forevermore. We discover joy and peace forevermore. We discover life everlasting. We discover that Christ loved us and gave himself for us. And he wrote our name in his book of life, from whence it is never removed. And as such, we will be with him around his throne forevermore. There shall in no wise enter into this place anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Is your name in that book? Have you heard his voice? Has the Spirit come in the gospel unto you and pointed to you Christ crucified in your place? have you been brought to partake of the first resurrection? How are you reigning as a priest of God and of Christ with him 1,000 years? Does the new heaven and the new earth lie before you? Or will you be cast with Satan and the false prophet into a lake of fire and be tormented day and night forever and ever? Amen.